The University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, you have your summer sunglasses out. I think that that's cool, because yeah. It's very summery outside in Detroit today. It's Professor Heather Hill.
Hello.
It's a little bit of a Jackie O vibe.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know.
I was thinking T.B. Cooper, but...
Oh. You know, I don't like how sunglasses look on me, or glasses in general.
But... Really? What are you talking about?
Nah. But
I think they look fine.
Well, thank you. I'm going to wear them through the entire show then.
Professor Stephen Manning is here with us as well today. You're looking totally summery.
Well, I was working around the house and in the house on a project, and then it was announced to me that it's 5 minutes before three. So, and it's warm out.
That's all it takes.
Beautiful weather.
That is awesome.
For another day, I think. And then we return to normal on Saturday night, Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. Professor Dan Maggio is here. You get around biking in weather like this?
Yeah, I would go biking.
It's bad for curling, though.
It's a little bad for curling. Yeah. Although we still have ice, but I'm done. My season is over.
Okay.
I did not advance to the national championship or the Olympics.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry.
But my ride down here today was delightful.
Yes.
It was.
That's a joke because of all the orange cones on Woodward.
Oh. I didn't even take Woodward. I came down Coolidge. Oh, it took me half an hour to get here.
It's even worse because that's where everybody's going instead of taking Woodward.
It's a mess.
So, well, nobody told me. Should put an alert out.
I know.
I could take the long way around, but...
It might actually be the shorter way around.
Well, since the Avenue of Fashion is now the Avenue of Fashion, that's literally a traffic jam on that.
It looks like there is a Cantina.
That's right.
Kuzo's?
Popped up. Is that... Kuzo's is open?
Yeah.
There's some other new things, so that's really exciting, but it's pretty jammed there.
Yeah. Kuzo's actually went out of business a couple months ago.
What did?
Kuzo's did.
Went out of business?
But,
came and went.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is that what you were saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed that. I only heard Kuzo's.
There's a new place close to that called Kraken Seafood Place.
Oh.
Kraken's not open yet. They still got the things on the window. But coming soon. Kraken, and there's a thing, a logo with a lobster thing.
Since we're talking about food.
So
on Coolidge by where we all live, in that new... retail space that they built with the pool.
Aquatots?
Aquatots. There's Poke Poke.
Oh.
Which I'm assuming is Poke Hawaiian.
Poke Bowls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Poke Bowls.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting.
Have you been to the Pita Way yet? I haven't.
No, I have.
Buy one, get one this week.
I was there first week. Oh. I had to get in. That's all.
And?
It's okay.
All right.
It's decent.
We have a lot of family yucks over that Aquatots. Because there's just something about even driving by at a reasonable speed and seeing a lot of half-clothed tiny children frolicking around. It's like, did you need to put windows around the whole building?
My nephew and niece actually attend that place, and I'm like, why?
Yeah. If you stop and look, it looks a little wrong. You have to be a little careful.
Yeah, seriously.
But it's cute to see kids swimming.
Yeah, that part is cute. I will give you that. I'll give you that. So, of course, the only person around the table who I think has been to Pita Way, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
So, it was good.
It was good. Very good.
What's better, Mr. Kebab or Pita Way?
I'm still a Mr. Kebab.
All right.
And, well, the only reason I'm also saying that is Mr. Kebab's been there forever. They know my order. Whereas Pita Way, I was there the first week, and the poor gal was still trying to figure out how to use the register. I know. I will. I always do.
I'm sure the Berkeley High School kids will, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. Or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. So this is a little awkward. Stephen sent us some questions. He actually sent about a bajillion questions, which I think is great. And we'll see, you know, the last time we did this, Stephen, and you were at the table, you're like, did I write that? So we're going to see
previous life.
Get that to happen a couple times. And it's not about food, but it's close to our hearts. I know this group likes movies, prides itself on knowledge of movie history. So here's a 15-question set on the theme of movie trivia. Some real surprises here, he says. So these are from Steven, and we're very thankful that you sent them in.
I'm going to get everyone right.
And writer Peter Benchley was stuck on a title for what would become Jaws. What was the idea for a title that his father came up with? And what I will tell you to do is set your phasers to be as snarky and hilarious as you can.
Orca bait?
Love at first bite?
All these are very good opportunities. No, I haven't heard it yet.
Scheider's Rift?
No. Show me the way to go home. Also incorrect.
I was going
to
say that.
Jaws. Mandibles.
You taste delicious.
I just think it's great that everybody went the taste, the bite sort of direction, which is very close to what it is.
What? Like,
I'm just hoping you can get one word from this. And
Martha's Vineyard's Delight or something like that.
Teeth.
Does it have blood in it?
Mandible.
No blood.
Water.
No mandible.
Limb.
No.
Dreyfus.
I'm giving it to Professor Hill for limb, even though the word limb does not appear.
Leg? Arm?
It was leg. What's that notion on my leg?
You can't name a movie that.
Yes, you can. I mean, a fish called Wanda. I mean, come on.
Speaking of sharks.
Show me the way to go
Sharknado?
Home.
You can't name a
tired
movie
and
that.
I want to go to bed.
Yeah, you can.
Had a little drink about an hour ago.
What's that notion on my leg? Everybody knows John Williams' greatest score.
Mm-hmm. One of.
What's that notion on my leg? To land the part of a Navy patrol boat crewman in Apocalypse Now, Lawrence Fishburne convinced director Francis Ford Coppola that he was 18 years old. But he wasn't. He was just a large lad. How old was he when he claimed he was 18?
14.
15.
He was 14 years old. That is exactly correct.
I honestly don't know these questions. Yeah, yeah. I really don't. No, I don't know.
No. 14 is a good age to start karting. That's all. Yeah,
so. You know it had to be under 18, right?
Oh, so
limited
it was not likely to be 10.
You got to figure physically he's got to be somewhat mature. So 14 on up is accurate. So.
Which sitcom star, the sitcom stalwart, has been all around? Played a police officer at the end of the movie Psycho. Good question, Stephen.
Can you ask that question again? I'm sorry.
Which sitcom star played a police officer at the very end of Psycho? So he was going to be an older gentleman, even in the 80s.
Sitcom star. Star.
I would say 80s sitcom star.
Like Abe Vigoda?
No, but you know.
Hal Linden.
Carol O'Connor?
No.
Bob Newhart?
These are really good, but incorrect. Initials TK.
Tom.
Ted Knight.
Ted Knight. You're three for three.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
It's the proximity.
Ted Knight for Mary
Tyler
Moore.
You already have a better batting average than the entire Detroit Tigers team.
That's correct.
Incredible. It was Ted Knight. Yeah, our old friend, Mr. Ted Knight. What was originally envisioned to star in the movie that became Die Hard? I think I've heard this one before.
Like
some
Nolte
real surprises
somebody?
Here. Think older.
That's a huge. I couldn't believe it when I came across
so
it.
You're getting closer.
Late 80s.
So we're talking
so not
late 80s.
Bruce Willis.
Not Bruce Willis, who would have been the young action star of the time. Think, look as far backwards as you can, is all I can say.
Like Charlie Chaplin?
Sean Connery?
Too far back?
No, you're playing in the right realm here.
Seriously? Okay.
It's like a whole generation.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, like a Buster Keaton?
Roger Moore?
No.
Lee Majors?
Anything I would say. Mostly this person is an actor, but mostly this person is remembered as a singer, if that helps at all.
Mac Davis?
No.
A singer.
Glenn Campbell. Johnny Cash.
Oh, man.
Elvis. You're just Frank Sinatra.
You're all around. It was Sinatra. It claimed that Sinatra was originally the lead for Die Hard. That's a surprise right there.
Sure. No. I just can't imagine him running barefoot
maybe
across
Die
class.
Die Hard the musical.
I'm just thinking of his voice with Yippee-Ki-Yay.
Yeah.
Maybe as entertainment for Nakatomi Towers.
Die Hard the Lounge Act.
That's how I want
Die Hard my way.
Yeah. There we go.
There you go.
What's that notion on my leg? Pieces of glass.
What's that notion on my leg?
What was West Side Story originally titled?
Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
That's a pretty good guess. That is not what it says here. Oh. That's a pretty good guess.
Sharks versus Jets?
Nope. Think as simple as possible.
New York
Boy
crime
meets
scene?
Girl?
Yeah.
I guess you're taking simplicity in a different direction.
Too simple?
Does it have to do with the group versus group?
No, it does not, actually. Take West Side Story, where they settled, and kind of deconstruct it, but only one step.
East Side Story?
It was East Side Story.
Oh. No, I was just joking. That's hilarious.
Dan.
It's sort of like, why is the internet superstore in the Western world called Amazon? I know the whole A to Z logo thing, but it's just a word that's good to say. It has nothing to do with the Amazon, right? So something about making it sound right. East Side Story, West Side Story. Little Rascals actor Carl Alfalfa Switzer appears as a high school student in which famous drama?
Oh, I should know this one.
I would say...
Like Giant or Rebel Without a Cause?
No.
Was it a James Dean vehicle?
No, it was a Jimmy Stewart vehicle.
The Christmas one, possibly.
It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah, it's a Wonderful Life. That's it. Everybody put all their heads together and we
Christmas
got there.
One.
Yep. Alfalfa.
I
is
couldn't
a high
remember.
Schooler. A high schooler. Already too old by the time that movie was
I'm
made.
Sorry. I've been playing too much with Wonka Vaders all this morning, so.
In the first draft of the movie Toy Story, instead of being a cowboy, Woody was something else. What toy was he?
Fireman?
Soldier?
Nope. Oh,
no,
soldier.
Big Jim?
Soldier's getting closer. He wasn't a cowboy.
He was a pilot?
Police officer?
No, something that's traditionally made out of wood. That's where he got his name, I would assume, since he's not a cowboy.
A Lincoln log house?
Traditionally made out of wood.
Something that's traditionally made out of wood.
Yes.
Puppet?
Yeah, that's right. It was a ventriloquist dummy. Yeah, it was actually...
Like Charlie McCarthy?
Pretty creepy stuff there. Pretty creepy stuff.
Ooh.
What's that notion on my leg?
What was that song on your leg?
Oh my gosh, you're going to be singing that all day. Heather.
I know.
That's awesome. What song was almost cut from the movie that, of course, made it famous? That's a pretty broad question. The Star Wars theme.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, Over the Rainbow name of that song. That's pretty hilarious when you think about it. I looked ahead on these questions, Stephen, and I read this one, and I just love it. Titanic, released in 1997, cost about $200 million. To film, about how much did it cost to build the Titanic and its ill-fated voyage in 1912?
Where's Jim?
$20 million.
Yeah.
It's less.
$12 million.
Less.
$1 million.
It's more.
Oh, I'm done. I'll pass it on.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Can we get Kendra on speed dial?
Just give me one more guess, Dave.
3.5.
Okay, double it. 7.5 million. 7.5 million.
The error bars have flexed to my. My
we want to tell your story for two more orders of magnitude more than it took to originally tell it. Who was originally cast as Indiana Jones but couldn't get out of his TV series contract? Every red-blooded Detroiter knows this.
Tom Selleck.
Yes. And what a completely different character Indiana Jones would have been.
So he would have been contracted to...
Magnum P.I.
Magnum P.I.,
that's what I would say. I love looking that far back, which isn't that far, and realizing, these actors are like, I can't get out of my lucrative TV contract. I have to go to Hawaii to film a couple more episodes.
Boo-hoo.
Oh, boy. Don't you want to go to the Amazon and find a mysterious idol? And yeah, exactly. Reese's Pieces, of course, were not the first choice for the alien treat in E.T. What was?
Skittles or M&M's?
M&M's, yeah. It was pretty good to go for the bite-size action there, yeah. They couldn't get the...
Peeps?
Peeps.
Peeps, yeah.
I can see now E.T. Can't speak because he's got a mouthful of peeps.
Can't peep, yes. What famous director made a cameo as a clerk in the Cook County Assessor's Office in The Blues Brothers? Was not involved in the film, just made a cameo.
What's
Spielberg, Hitchcock, Woody Allen?
It was Spielberg. I love how you just went, you're just listing a bunch of them, but you hit it on the first try. Yeah, that's pretty cool. The carpet in the bad neighborhood kid's house in Toy Story is an homage to what set of horror film? Oh, yeah, the carpet in his bedroom is the same as a very famous horror film.
The Shining.
Yeah.
That's the most famous carpet.
Very distinctive carpet.
Right?
Very distinctive carpet. Came across someone who wouldn't know me from Adam, as my old boss used to say, who does online movie reviews recently because the kids wanted to go see Super Mario Brothers, and the first one that I read was actually written by someone I knew in high school. Again, would never remember me. And she had written a book about how far The Shining movie is from the book itself, and how it was purposefully taken in racist directions by the virtue of making the film. And I had never heard of that kind of critical treatment, and now I kind of want to read more about it. Yeah. Interesting. Cool. That's my anecdote for today.
Well, was Stephen King consulted? Was he part of the production of the movie, the writing?
The deal is based off of having read Dr. Sleep, the book, and then seen the Ewan McGregor, the follow-up movie, basically the sequel. King felt both the book and the movie an apology for how the original movie had turned out, and I had never heard that before either. Hmm. So, yeah, kind of interesting. Hmm. Which actress was the first pick for the lead role in Alien, which of course eventually went to Sigourney Weaver?
Laura Dern?
No, that's good.
That was late 80s?
We're talking mid to late 80s, yeah. Let's see. Or, gosh, Alien. That may have been 1980.
Yeah.
Oh, that was way back.
Jamie Lee Curtis?
No.
Not Sean from Blade Runner. No.
A good clue, if you're big Seinfeld fans, is Jerry once called this actress a, quote, big phony baloney, unquote. Dan's laughing already.
No, I don't know, but I can picture him saying that.
In pop culture, this is known as one of the greatest actresses still alive of our time.
Yeah. Meryl Streep?
Meryl Streep was originally supposed to be in
America. No, I don't.
I don't see her.
That is so interesting.
I don't know where you found this stuff. No, it is. It's interesting. I'm just looking.
I'm just trying to rethink the movie.
Steven's grinning over there.
You wonder what I do all day around the house.
Yeah.
No, exactly. I mean, yeah.
I'm just vacuuming up dog hair.
How many gallons of water were in a performance capture tank used to film water scenes for the film, just came out, Avatar: The Way of Water?
How many gallons?
How many gallons of water were in the motion capture tank?
None.
So they could get, apparently they did some motion capture in water.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's going to be, I don't even know how to estimate that.
Yeah, I know,
and
right?
You're good at that stuff. So
I would say, I don't know, 500,000.
I mean, you're a little high. It's 90,000, but that's still
a
lot.
That's really high.
Yeah.
Now, if you remember, almost all of the practical special effects for the sinking of Titanic were actually practical effects. They were not CGI. They had a motion capture performance tank. How many gallons were in that tank to film Titanic? Here's a hint. It's more than 90,000.
What a shock.
500,000.
It's more.
750,000.
More.
1,000,000.
More than a million.
Whoa, baby. Whoops.
I don't know how to picture a million gallons of water.
It's hard.
It is hard. Yeah.
1.7 million.
I'm going to give it to you, but we're going to multiply by 10. It's 17 million gallons of water. Isn't that incredible?
Can you imagine the water bill?
Partial credit.
Yeah, partial credit. Oh, 100%.
The decimal point was in the wrong place.
That's close enough.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Steven.
I'm glad my accountant doesn't look at it that way.
Oh, my gosh. So funny.
Yoy.
Okay, we're going to our long list of Ask the Professor Imponderables.
Imponderables.
Let's take a positive bent today, shall we? If you had a favorite, so we're thinking positive, politician, who would that politician be?
That's easy. Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
That's solid.
That's a solid
Everything
response.
Else is south from there.
Yep. It's true. That's pretty solid.
I don't think I can top that one, can you?
I think Jimmy Carter's a pretty good choice.
Mm-hmm. What if we went to the realm of people who may not have been alive during your lifetime? Does that change your answer? Abraham Lincoln, I suppose, would be sort of a safe response.
But I might say FDR.
FDR, okay.
The star there, John F. Kennedy, more recently. You know, I read a book on, you'd like this, on Carter, called The Outlier.
Mm.
Which really got into his presidency and some of the controversies about it.
Sure.
Really a good read.
What about Abrams down in
Stacey Abrams? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stacey Abrams, that's good.
Yep.
I think a lot of people might say Obama, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm thinking of
I was thinking Abrams just because of the, get out the vote.
Sure.
As far as leading people down south, I thought that was really noble.
Yep.
The two Justins in Tennessee these days.
True. Mm-hmm. That's very topical.
Cuomo, the father, the older Mario, who gave the speech at the 68? No, later than that. Because it's sometimes counted with Reagan's speech. So it would have been 78, 80 or something. His speech at the Democratic National Convention, which was a really a statement about what liberalism was all about.
How about Shirley Chisholm?
Shirley Chisholm, first woman to run for president. 100%. That's a great one.
Thank you.
I like that. I like that a lot. I don't know. I don't know who I would put at all on the list. Like, I got to say that I had a very unique opportunity in high school. Presidential classroom is what they called it. And they would take a bunch of promising youngsters and send them to D.C. And we met both Carl Levin and Sandra Levin, because Sandra Levin would have been our rep at that point. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, you guys want to hang out in my office while I go take care of this boat? And they like left us alone in their office. What? It was just so weird. Yeah. We took a picture at his desk. I remember that. It's just sort of odd.
You guys know who Patrick Leahy is?
Oh, Patrick Leahy. That's good.
Yeah, he's from Vermont. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
I met him first when he was milking a cow.
At home or at a state fair?
At a state fair.
It wasn't on the floor, I don't think. So.
Okay. Nice.
Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, I was
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, also Vermont?
Yep. No, that's a good one.
I did shake Obama's hand once. No, well, not really a shake, but there was a rally and got close enough at a local high school in Ohio, not here.
Ooh, can I touch you?
He was going through and it was like it was kind of like this.
Yeah. Secondary.
Well, I mean, is that almost like sitting at the Jolly Pumpkin, you know, where Obama ate too? I mean, does that count?
That's, that's right.
No. Close.
Not exactly the same. But
which one did he eat at? The Ann Arbor one?
No, the one in Midtown.
Downtown?
Yeah. Oh,
really?
Did you pick someone?
Pardon?
Did you pick someone for this?
I was thinking Abrams.
Abrams.
What about a Canadian?
Ooh.
Politician. Yeah, Canadian.
The first Trudeau?
Yeah, I was thinking of the first Trudeau. Yeah, my dad always liked him. So I was still too young, but I remember some of the things he's done. And not to mention, he's also given birth to one, too. So.
Oh, that's true. That is a true statement. Honestly, only because I think every single politician we just listed leans a little blue. You know, in the interest of balancing everything out, I will say the more that I learn about H.W. Bush, the more I'm like, okay, that he was an okay guy. He knew what he was doing. Didn't agree with everything he did, but it's like
last of the old
school politicians. Yeah. Let's just put it that way. That's all.
You were going to say John McCain.
Or Mitt Romney?
No.
Pick McCain before.
I think I would. You know, I'm not forcing us down. You know, a red fill in the blank here, but I think.
Well, it's interesting too. I think a response like that is in retrospect.
Right.
Yes.
So right. Right.
We wish we had a George W. Bush around these days.
No, 100%.
A rational. Liz Cheney. You know,
there you go.
I mean, you know, I don't agree with much of her policies. But
she did take a stand.
Yep.
Well, that's true.
And paid dearly for it. Yes. You know those stories of the relationship between Tip O'Neill and Reagan?
And Reagan.
They got this stuff done. They had, and they respected each other, although disagreed ideologically
vehemently,
on almost every single issue. But
I
think they both assumed that the other
for the betterment of the country,
the other guy had the best interests of the country in mind. Yeah. I think the best way to get there is this. You think it's this? Okay, we'll figure something out.
That's my feeling, and that's all I'm saying. Not necessarily thought, but feeling when I feel about H.W. But you're right. It's not like I didn't see that happening in midst.
Right,
it was like
right.
looking back when you saw his son get elected and everything. So I don't know. That's a weird one. Locally, though, I mean, a lot of people are big fans of Big Gretch. In these parts, you know, our governor has a pretty big following. So, Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, there's a lot of other people that would be put on the opposite list, too. I've been reading a lot of these Michigan State Republican Party news stories, and it's just sort of like, it's like a nut house. Like, I don't even know what to say. We have to save everybody from Satanism, and
Well, and the leader of the Michigan Republican Party now is the woman who had that disastrous, what was she running for?
Secretary of State.
Isn't that
just unbelievable?
Unbelievable. Put in that position.
Yep, that's right. So, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that. Only we've been cursed to live in interesting times. you know?
Well,
yep.
When I buy my hotel over in Canada, you're more than welcome to stay. So
what I would like to always know is, if you go back 50 years and you take a table like this, were they having the same conversations that we are, or is this truly unusual, or is it just our unusual?
I think it's probably more divisive than ever before. It's my way or the highway. That's the one thing I noticed.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
What I would say in my youth, Dan, you certainly have more experience than I do, is that...
Just a little more.
Just a little bit.
Was that
2 months, right?
That
2 months?
2 days.
It was not an indirect. It was not an indirect. Is that nobody could have predicted how a lot of these politics were going to change, because they're coming from a place where people don't do the sort of things that Stephen was talking about.
Well, like, and
I have my idea. I'm going to try to push for it. If I lose, I'll live to fight another day. Nobody thinks that.
Or just think about the idea of conceding an election.
Right.
Was a given. And now it's kind of like, nope, I'm going to hang in there till what?
Well, even bitterly fought elections. Yes. And very, very close elections. Mm-hmm. There was the phone call. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was.
There you go.
Respect for the process, respect for the office, and
I always thought that was the one thing that the United States always did better than any other country in the world. That, you know, you can still be a gracious loser.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Whereas I don't know, you know, and moving forward now it's like, okay, we're gonna challenge the machines, we're gonna challenge everything about the election. It's like, wait a minute, where's that civility in regards to accepting losing?
Yep.
Civility or otherwise, it's just reality. It's like
I wouldn't be surprised if Trump stays in this race. If he says, even if he's convicted and jailed, he'll still run.
So
it would be just like him to pick Kerry Lake as his running mate.
100%.
So now what would happen? You know, let's just say he does get convicted. You know, is he going to have to serve prison time? Then what?
They're not going to make him serve prison time.
No. Well, there are. I mean, there's nothing to prevent him from doing that.
True.
Nothing constitutionally.
We are running out of time, and it means we have to end on a high note. So I'll tell everybody who listens to my voice, both at this table and in the future over the airwaves, this. Apparently, it is an interesting personality quirk of Ron DeSantis that he likes canned pudding. Have you heard about this?
No.
However, he does not eat said pudding with a spoon. He sticks two fingers into the little pudding can and smears it into his mouth.
Okay, that's enough.
And all you need to know is that at the NRA convention this weekend, where he's speaking remotely, but Trump will be speaking in person, in the Indy metro area, there are anti-Ron DeSantis ads on the TV this weekend, where it's all this bad stuff about DeSantis, and someone's in the background eating pudding by putting fingers in their mouth. That is not a joke.
Yuck.
Hadn't heard that.
Yep. This is,
these are our future leaders.
Seriously. I was trying to end on a high
note. We all have our quirks, but jeez.
You know, my cousins in Vancouver think
right.
I'm living in one huge soap opera.
Oh, yeah. Well, you sort of are, but that's just your regular life.
Yeah, but can't I just deal with, like, Joan Collins wrestling, like, into Linda Evans and, you know, evening gowns in the fountain? It's so much easier.
Yeah, now that was drama I could lean into. No, 100%. Professors, I tried, but obviously failed, so the time has come for us to say goodbye, Dave.
See you.
Dan.
I like pudding, too.
Steven.
Goodbye.
Heather.
Bye-bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.